Here we go. And Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, David Sisboombaugh. National Hour on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Wherever you're watching, live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. Glad you're along for the ride. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in six-time Stanley Cup champion, Hockey Hall of Famer, Kevin Lowe. We'll talk a little Oilers, talk a little Vancouver Canucks.
We should have come into the streets of no name today.
But Sammy, we got some breaking news.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Carson Soucy got a game suspended.
Yeah.
Can't cross-check people in the face, guys.
That's safe.
Yeah,
I guess. You can. It's just
this is cross-checking.
Right. That's a great point.
Yeah, you can. Don't say you can't.
Right.
I hate it when people say you can't. It's like, we just watched it.
He did.
They said
it.
You can. So, like, what do you mean you can't?
You can't do it and go unpunished.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
That's what you have to say then.
Technically, then you can do anything.
So, watching the play.
Yes.
It is initiated by Connor McDavid swinging his stick wildly. Zadorov.
What do you mean it's initiated?
That's how it started. Behind the net, Connor McDavid swings his stick wildly. Hold on. Zadorov comes in and gives him a shot in the back, which he got suspended for 5K. Oh, he got fined.
Yeah.
Carson Soucy does not go anywhere near McDavid's face if that cross check in the lower back doesn't happen. His stick was at waist level.
Yeah.
He was protecting himself from a wild slash by the best player on earth. So the cause and effect, he got cross checked in the face, he got suspended a game. But if I was a Vancouver fan, I'd probably be a little bit pissed.
It, to me, it's like shooting your gun while aimlessly, and if you hit someone...
Well, you're not allowed to have a cross-check when a guy's swinging his stick at you?
It's same with a high stick, Sam. If you have a high stick and it hits someone, it's reckless. You have to control your stick. So if you do this and someone hits someone in the face, you're on the hook for doing this.
Anybody but 97, it's a fine.
Agreed.
And that's fine. But I think the league itself should do that. We got to protect our stars, our quarter. Can't touch a quarterback. You can't send a text message to a quarterback, let alone hit them. And that's fine. They're the stars of the game. He's the best player on earth.
But, I mean,
he deserves an ounce of extra protection.
Sure.
It's not upsetting to me. I mean, that's not the worst thing.
No, I'm just defending it.
Anything more than a game.
But that to me is secondary to the Vancouver Canucks making this. I mean, a hell of a series now. We got something going on here. We got some juice. This is real. This is sustainable and repeatable.
Yeah, this makes
you like the juice, huh?
Makes it feel like it's a must win for Edmonton. They got a lot of firepower there. They got a power play that's over 50% that still has an impact here.
Over 50% and they're losing.
Yes, they're losing because they can't get a goalie to be a top three star.
Top three star?
Well, you just need to be, you need to be one of three best players on your team.
The goalie?
Yes.
If he was an 875, they'd be laughing. He's a 790.
I'm just, yeah, that's that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah. It's a huge problem, though.
It's a big problem now.
I think Frank Saravalli had an article on Daily Faceoff today where he said the sample size is not small anymore. He's played 15 playoff games. And he has the worst save percentage of any goaltender to have play that many playoff games.
So then they go to Pickard, I guess, for game 4?
Yeah, just move
not
on.
Not a chance.
I'm with Kip.
Not a chance? Not a chance. For me, not a chance.
I think there's a chance, bud.
Oh, there's a chance, but I don't think they'll do it.
They're having a long meeting today about it, guarantee.
I think you're right.
I think the mere fact that they pulled him in the third period... But the game's not out of hand.
4-2 at that point?
4-2. To pull a goalie at 4-2 is very significant. So you really took a chance there. Because if Pickard comes in and lets one goal in, just one.
It's over.
It's over. And he didn't. So the effect of Skinner not playing the third is equivalent to him thinking about almost not playing the next game. So the psychological effect that you had on a goalie that you're not good enough, and like Skinner should have been embarrassed to be pulled at 4-2. Mm-hmm. You're pulled at 3-0, 4-0, 5-0. You're not pulled at 4-2.
Vancouver didn't pull Shelov's. When it was 4-1 the other night.
So I think whatever message you wanted to send Skinner that you need to be better is now ingrained in him, and you got to come back to him now.
I'm with you. We got Kevin.
All right, let's go to Kevin Lowe. Lowe Z, why don't you just pick up this conversation on who would you start next game? How's that for an opening question?
I missed the early part, so I'm going to beg forgiveness and not chime in. But I do agree. I think they got to go back with Stuart Skinner. He's been their goalie. He has proven that he's been able to rally. And although, at the end of the day, I wouldn't be fearful having Calvin Pickard in there because he's played well for us. But I think just overall, you know, the easy discussion is to pinpoint the goalie. But you know, there's some egregious errors that happened before some of those goals that need to be cleaned up. So it doesn't even have to get to where the goalie has to stop the puck. So overall, I think I don't think anyone in that dressing room should be feeling comfortable the way they played the other night. I don't think they didn't look prepared and ready for the onslaught of Vancouver when they started the game. And they should have been, because that's all Rick Tocchet had talked about for a couple of days was to play a more aggressive, meaner game against the Oilers, and they delivered.
Yeah, coming out of the gates, you saw both Lindholm and I forget who it was, and Joshua both hit Ekholm. It's hard to think Ekholm's ever been hit in the same shift, which is uncommon. He went on, he had a great game, he scored a goal, and it didn't affect him, but certainly a different Canucks team. Are you seeing something from the Canucks that the Oilers wouldn't have expected?
No, I think the Canucks beat the Oilers throughout the regular season. Yeah. And, you know, we can look to the fact that it was early in the season, the Oilers weren't playing that well. But I mean, I admire what Rick Tocchet's done. He's, you know, he obviously played the game. I wasn't as tough as him, but I liked the way he played the game. I think I tried to play the game firmly and hard. Obviously skill's a very important part of it, but he had those guys fired up for that game, and they were ready to play. I'm not saying that the Oilers weren't, but I think the Oilers were a little surprised by it. So I think the response needs to be, hey, they're not going to turn the Oilers into the 72 Flyers, but it's the playoffs, man, and everybody's got to finish their checks. And if they think that they just start with that, and I mean man-to-man, I mean, I'm not talking about Leon and Connor. I think Connor had four body checks himself. But I think down the roster, some guys got to look at themselves in the mirror and say, you know, forget about the scoring. Go out and play the game right. Finish your checks. Play hard. And I think eventually the skill level of the Oilers will take over. They've proven that in a couple games. They outshot them badly. I know the Canucks might have been sitting back on that lead. But when the Oilers get fired up, it's tough for the Canucks to compete. But when the Canucks bring it into a muddy track like they did early in the game last night, the Oilers got to respond.
We're talking to Kevin Lowe, six-time Stanley Cup champion, Hockey Hall of Famer, and once upon a time a teammate of mine in New York. So, Lowe Z, we're seeing kind of a night and day style of play when it comes to the regular season at times, and there's a lot of games, no question, but the tight checking, the physicality that you see now and the effect that it can have on your star players. And, you know, we've seen it over the years in Toronto with sometimes Matthews, Nylander, Marner not being able to break out. We've seen two games already in this series where McDavid is pointless. And I'm just wondering, you know, in your early days with the Oilers, with the likes of Coffey and Yari and you know, some of the greats, Glenn Anderson and 99, of course, like was that the case back then where the attention to detail was so great on the stars that they just had to find different ways to produce?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, absolutely. Kipper. I mean, you know, Wayne Gretzky never scored a goal in the Stanley Cup Finals, I think, until I want to say game three in 1985. He went scoreless. And that's an unknown fact. And of course, Wayne did everything. And he won the Conn Smythe, but you got to find a way to battle through. And sometimes you can go through these things. I mean, you know, everything is compounded because it's the playoffs and you only have so many games to do it. But and I don't think that I don't think, and there's more emphasis on what's happening, you know, the camera angles and the stuff, and they're emphasizing the stars. If they aren't producing it, why is it happening? Like, I don't think Susie meant to cross-check Connor in the face last night, but that's something people will be talking about, how abusive the playoffs can be to the stars. But, hey, listen, if you want to win the Stanley Cup, you got to find a way through it. And the refs, I mean, they do as good a job as they can. They miss a few things, but by and large, you know, everybody's playing within the rules. The game within the game, as you know, Kipper, the pushing and shoving after the face-offs is you got to figure that part out, and the little cheap shots when the refs aren't looking. But hey, it's not an easy trophy to win, and if you want to win it, you got to figure out how to do it.
I am curious to get your thoughts on Vancouver and Edmonton, the third period last game. You know, there's sort of this idea, you know, Edmonton really took it to Vancouver. I think the shots were 22-3, but a lot of the high danger chances, I think, were like 1-1 or 2-1. Vancouver really packing it in against the Oilers. How do you break through that? I know it's been a wall for the Leafs that we've talked about. It's just when another team is content to just sort of pack it in, block shots, what are the best avenues to break that?
Well, you know, when you're leading in a game and your game plan seems to be effective, it's easy to stay in that in that tightness that you're talking about. They're not going to, you know, they're on their game plan. They're going to stay that way. It's working. So, I mean, the key is to come out of the gate and get them on their heels. Like, I don't – generally when the Oilers are playing their A game, particularly at home, they come out and outshoot the opposition. They're ready to go. And you know, the speed, and they finish their checks, and – They're a great home team, and you know, like as I mentioned earlier, I just think that they're on their heels a bit early, and then Vancouver, hey, the puck went in the net. I don't think it was terrible goaltending by Stuart Skinner, but at the end of the day, you got to make a save or two to sort of help get your team back on track, and I think once you do that, then you know, you got to put some. Not some fear in the opposition, but you got to get them out of their element where they get behind, and now they got to score a goal. And then that opens, you know, that's what our team's strength is. When they do get the opposition down, they can really finish them off.
You know, Losey, one of the things throughout the regular season I was questioning on is the depth of that blue line, but you know, it just seemed like once Ekholm really came in off of that trade, and it's kind of just reset them all. Maybe you can just speak of how you've watched that blue line evolve over the last few years, and maybe what Paul Coffey has brought as well.
Yeah, Coff's done a great job, and just in some of the basic common sense things about the game, you know, like, you know, for instance, if a defenseman makes a play that, it, you know, looks egregious to the fans, but it was the right play, he just didn't execute it. You know, Coff will, you know, reaffirm that, no, that's the right play. Just execute it the next time. I think our defense get too much criticism, to be honest. I think, you know, there's so much emphasis on analytics and all those crazy stats. And at the end of the day, you know, if anything I'd want out of them is, you know, safe plays, a little more physicality, make it a little tougher on the opposition. They move the puck overall as a group well. And as you say, a lot of that changed when Matthias Ekholm came. I mean, I'm just loving watching this guy play. He's as good a defenseman as I've seen play for the Oilers, you know, since Chris Ponger. So, I figured it was going to be a long series, and the Canucks are, they're a tagger and the Oilers are down now. They're going to have to, you know, again, put their big boy pants on and come out and win a game tomorrow night. But I think there's enough desire in the room to want to win a cup. And that's half the battle.
How have you felt about the Oilers' depth forwards? You know, Draisaitl and McDavid played quite a bit last game, 29 minutes plus each. You know, that puts a lot of pressure on them. Are they getting enough support from the guys beneath them?
Well, you know, they were, Justin, they were like behind, you know,
and those
guys were dominant. So, yeah, but those are bad. Those are not good minutes for those guys. They can't sustain that. That's a recipe for disaster. And again, in fairness to the bottom end guys, they get some criticism because they're not producing, but they're not on the ice. But at the end of the day, a little less worry about producing, scoring goals, that is, and a little bit about getting out there, finishing your checks, making life difficult on the Vancouver's defense, make them play in our end a little bit more and soften them up, and that allows the big guys to come out and work their magic.
Hey, I got to ask you about the power play running over 50% here, and you had Gretzky, you had Curry, you had Kopf, and you're like, this one's better, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. They're feeling it, you know. They're feeling it. They obviously, they've got, what I like about them, they have so many options, right? And they all can score. Ekholm, when he's out there as well, but, you know, when he gets out there for the second part, but, you know, the Bush bomb and you know, Nuge is the bumper a lot of times, but, I mean, he can score goals. So it's hard to believe that they're doing it at the pace that they are, because we just haven't seen that ever, really. But let's just hope it keeps going for the Oilers' sake.
How have you felt about officiating in the series? I think some Oilers fans would like to see a few more calls for their superstars. How have you felt in general?
It's always, you know, when you lose a game, it's the official's fault. You know, someone high up in the NHL world told me a long time ago, and this isn't a slight against the officials, you know, they like to keep the same amount of marbles in each pocket, you know, so
sure do.
You can almost bet. And again, I'm not suggesting they did it on purpose, but because of what happened in Vancouver, you know, the missed call on the Quinn Hughes high stick and a supposed slew foot, you knew that the refs were going to be watching closely. Again, I'm not suggesting they went out to call penalties, but they certainly weren't going to miss any. And in terms of the Stars, it's playoffs. It's playoffs, man. You gotta fight through that, and eventually you keep playing that, you know, playing hard and playing as, you know, as well. If we're talking about particularly Connor and Leon, the refs are going to catch the opposition doing what they do, and they're going to the opposition are going to push it too far, and they're going to get called, and hopefully the Oilers score on them.
I don't want to age you here, Lozy, but like, you watch in every year this time of year in Edmonton and the tailgating parties and the ice district locations and all of that. Just, man, it must be a great time out there.
It's really is magical. I have to say, I'm so fortunate to be here and watching it. You know, but I see it from a different lens now. Really, I see it how important it is, obviously, to the fans and to the players, but I see it for the economy, for the businesses, you know, for the taxi drivers and the bars and restaurants and just for the general well-being of the city. It's so critical and so exciting to see when the team is playing. So that's what I hope for now. Of course, I want to see Connor win a Stanley Cup because he's deserving of one, because he's such a great player. And that's how, you know, as Wayne Gretzky told me many years ago before he won a cup, that was his ultimate wish, was to be able to say lifted a cup like, you know, like Bobby Orr and Béliveau and all the greats before him. But I really, Daryl Cates and the Cates group did an amazing job. The Ice District is, you know, so exciting there. I mean, there's thousands, you know, 15,000-20,000 people just around the rink, which is kind of cool because, you know, not everyone has a ticket or can afford it to, you know, the price of a ticket. So they can be part of the atmosphere. It's really special.
Well, listen, if you find yourself in Toronto in the next couple of days, I can get you a cab like that here. They're not busy at all here. A reservation. Anything you want.
I was actually cheering for the Leafs. I was cheering for the Leafs. First time ever, I have to say. First time ever.
Didn't help, Lozy. You won a bunch of cups. You couldn't help the Leafs.
Yeah. Lozy, we'll take any Stanley Cup on Canadian soil anywhere.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Lozy, thanks for doing this, man. Really appreciate it. Always great to see you.
Yeah, anytime, you guys. Thanks
for your time. Right.
Edmonton Oilers, great. Kevin Lowe.
So, this series is fascinating to me. What do you got?
Officiating and
I gotta tell you,
it's
kudos
always the
to
case,
these two
though.
Fan bases.
So it's always
they
the
are
case.
Losing their mind.
It is at like a fever pitch. This is excellent playoff.
This is awesome.
Like, it's back and forth. Like, McDavid's talking about the cross check today. Then apparently the media wanted to talk to Zadorov, and like the representative said no, they didn't. He didn't talk.
Good.
Like, it's just, this is.
That was like traffic Vancouver is through the roof on all the columns.
The hearing before media availability.
Vancouver wanted the hearing first.
Before, yeah.
Why is that?
They wanted it out of the way, and they wanted the answer.
Mm.
And I don't know what was said during media availability, so I'm not privileged to that information, but I would imagine it was just to probably think that if a one-game suspension was coming, they get to voice their displeasure on an off day.
The one thing, so leading into the series and even during it, I've said that I don't really see a way forward for Vancouver. I thought that Edmonton was a much better team, and I thought that was going to play out. I'll take my L there. I was wrong. Happy to see that we've got a great series on our hands now. There reaches a sample size where you have to sort of reevaluate. And what Kevin Lowe just say, the Canucks are 6-1 against them this year.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when the score is close, like in the first period, the Canucks come out and control the shots. You know, like they look like a team that...
That first shift was peak playoff hockey.
Unbelievable.
They're just, everybody's cross-checking and fighting, and there's the two hits, and they take it to the net. Like, they came out hard immediately.
And so it's really hard not to notice that the Oilers are having a tough time 5-on-5. Yeah, when they're behind, they're chasing the game, and they're, you know, great in the power play, and they're great chasing the game, but they haven't exactly looked like, boy, they're going to get this series the way, even when it was 1-1 Boston, Florida, it was like, it's Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that way.
You start... puck watching in your own zone, and Fogel ends up coughing one up the middle there. Those are game.
They got finishers. Game Besser changing. Can shoot.
Game changing. Series changing moments.
I mean, Skinner let in a couple softies last night, but I have a hard time.
I didn't like the skin. I didn't like the one far post
on
either.
On Besser. It's a pretty good shot.
I mean, he gave him so much.
There's a lot of net there.
He lost his net.
And actually, he doesn't get it off the inside post. It's not post in there. No, it's not.
I mean, I have a bigger problem with Fogel tossing a pizza into the middle and then having it's a world-class goal scorer between the hash marks, beat him low glove. Like, I have a hard time killing him for that one. People will. But, man, Besser. Lindholm.
Yeah.
And it's not even Pettersson. That's the crazy part. It's like, he scored or whatever in the other game, but it's just...
Yeah, they're winning without him.
He's barely noticeable. They brought up some guy from... I'd never even heard of him from the AHL to play with him.
It's so funny that Besser was a guy who was kind of widely known to be available, and he's become such a crucial piece for them. I think we need to discuss the Shelov's reach back grab of Derek Ryan's stick while the puck is in behind him.
Saved a goal. Not holding.
Saved a goal.
Yes, it's a penalty. It's an unbelievable play.
Mm-hmm.
Great presence of mind.
It's a holding penalty.
Absolutely a penalty.
For sure.
That's the first thing I thought.
How do you not see it?
I think because a referee has literally never seen that play ever in the history of the game.
Good point.
And they're like, oh, what's happening? And then it's over.
It's like something you do playing with your friends. Like,
it was I don't know how he had the thought to do that, but you're right. It's definitely a penalty, but I don't blame the ref on that one. They're like, how am I supposed to, what happened?
She loves credit. He seems like he's in the moment.
He's got some puck luck too.
Yeah.
Oh, they beat him to the
Draisaitl post, the Kane post.
Yeah. What was Draisaitl's line?
It's not good goaltending. The post hit inside the post is not good goaltending.
It's not good goaltending. you don't need to be a good goalie to.
They're definitely going to score 8 on him at one point in this series. It feels like.
It does feel like
there's one of these games. Like, I think it's going to be a close series and it's go far, but.
He's picking pucks off the goal line.
Yeah. Feels like a bunch of Perry.
Yeah. It just seems like nothing.
I'm just saying, I can see a world now where Vancouver is hanging. They've got some breaks. They've got some officiating. It's gone their way.
How about Zadorov? Just putting a big, strong man into the bench.
Just the presence like that he has and just the aura that he carries. It's impressive.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
He seems very comfortable in the playoffs in this type of setting.
Yeah.
And I'm not... Everyone calm down here.
Mm.
There is something Zdeno Chara-like about having a guy who can slap it in the net, slap you in the face... Not afraid of anyone. Like, just he's a little bit more mistake prone, but
having the biggest, meanest, strongest guy on your team is great. Like, it's got to be great.
I actually wonder about his number this summer. He's a UFA, is he not?
UFA.
Oh yeah.
I wonder what his number
is. Treat overpay him.
I gotta tell you,
29.
Can't wait for Treat overpay him.
Or age. age is 29.
Just mentioning Zadorov, the counter to the Soucy argument, because like I have so many Canucks people on my Twitter. Just I don't know how this has happened, but like Riccio and Sadier, all these guys, they're talking about Hyman coming in late on Zadorov and cross-checking Zadorov right in the mouth, which is equally as egregious as what Soucy did.
Yeah.
And that's hot with the Canucks right now. They're saying it's even worse. And watching the replay, it's really bad to me. So if you're going to suspend the guy a game for cross-checking McDavid, you're literally doing the cause and effect of, like, Soucy's not the star, so he's not getting a game for it. Like, you're watching it happen in real time. I'd be sour if I was a Canucks fan watching it.
Yeah, sure. You're making a fine point.
Suck it up and take it, because yeah, nothing's changing.
So they're not going to review the...
No.
Well, he cross-checked him in the face. The other guy got suspended a game just because McDavid, untouchable McDavid.
I haven't noticed that. I'll have to watch that again for me.
Untouchable McDavid swings his stick around like Paul Bunyan.
Right.
Canucks Twitter noticed it. Dan Murphy put out a tweet. Boys are hot out in Vancouver, I'm telling you.
But it's going to pass.
Okay.
It's going to pass.
When Hyman scores a hat trick next game and they lose, they're going to be really happy. They'll forget about it.
This is the Sam Bennett moment. You don't suspend Sam Bennett, and all of a sudden he scores a huge goal, which was also controversial.
Was that even up call after he threw Kane in the bench? Like, was that
a bench minor? The Oilers got a bench minor for... Mm-hmm.
For what?
Holding on to him. I don't know.
Somebody did.
They did hold on to him, but anyways.
All right.
I feel like I'm a Canucks homer here, but I actually am kind of more on the Canucks side of it. But listen, whatever.
They hate you. You're just a Leaf guy to them.
I don't know if they do. Text in from Vancouver if you hate me.
Sam doesn't normally do official talk, but let me tell you, he's got thoughts.
I do. I think Zach Hyman should be suspended a game if Carson Soucy suspended a game.
Oh, my God.
I do think that. Okay. Go to Dan Murphy's Twitter. You'll see a great video.
I'm on it. I'm on Dan Murphy's Twitter. Let's go.
We do not agree.
Let's take a break.
Take a break, and then you got game time after the break.
Sounds good.
Oh, we've got to talk Boston.
Their team is going to join us, right?
Yep. We'll do a bit of Colorado. We're jam packed.
All right. Plenty more still on Real Kipper and Bourne. Don't go away.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night. It's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcast.
Two games on tap tonight. Tune right into Sportsnet, and you get them both. Carolina at New York and Dallas at Colorado. To help us tee up that game, let's go to Arif Dean, Avalanche beat writer for Mile High Sports, host of Hockey Mountain High Avalanche podcast. Arif, how are you, pal?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
We're good. So, Colorado at home, down 2-1. We were talking about the Oilers feeling it at their next game. Must win kind of feel for you at this point?
Yeah, I would say so. I think this kind of gives me a lot of memories of past Avalanche series where they've lost, where it kind of culminates to it. You know, if you go back to 2021 against Vegas, you can even look at last year versus Seattle, where the Avalanche have a strong game one, and they look like they're going well, and then you see the other team start to do the things they want to do, and then they perfect it, you know, almost nearly perfect in game three, what we saw from the Dallas Stars. And if the Avalanche don't break out of that habit tonight, I think it's game over for them. They're going to have to find a way to get through this defense, to get to Jake Oettinger, to get that traffic in front that we didn't see a lot of in game three, and to really have to make Pete DeBoer and the Dallas Stars make the next adjustment.
So what are your biggest concerns for the Avalanche at this point?
Number one is Jake Oettinger. Yeah. I think he's been exceptional. This isn't quite, you know, going as well as it did against another guy in Connor Hellebuck from the last round. But ultimately, it's the traffic in the crease and getting to those big bodies. You know, I remember having a debate with somebody about a month ago when it kind of became clear that the same deal the Avalanche made to bring in Sean Walker, the first rounder, and Ryan Johansson, there was like murmurs that they tried to do the same thing to bring in Chris Tanev. And that seems like the difference, because that guy in front of Jake Oettinger right now is not allowing the Avalanche to battle in front. It was the main reason why we saw Val Nichushkin held off the score sheet for the first time in the playoffs. It was a main reason why Nate McKinnon didn't score on what looked like an open net on a one-timer, because he got in front of the puck. He's either blocking these shots or he's clearing the crease for Ottinger and making his night a lot easier. And he's not the only one doing it. It's all the Stars defenders right now. And I think that's the biggest concern. The Avalanche were able to crash the net and to get in front of Connor Hellebuck. If you remember him saying, "I didn't see half the goals that went in." They're not doing that with Jake Ottinger, at least not in this game.
You mentioned Nikushkin. I think mid-January he entered the NHL PA substance program or help program. Did you see this at all? Maybe not so much coming back, but coming back and dominating the way he has, putting the puck in the net?
It's hard not to see it at this point. I mean, we all remember what happened last year in Seattle and kind of spent the entire summer wondering if this guy was even going to be an option. And then he comes in at the start of the regular season. At the time of him entering the player assistance program, I believe he had 21 goals in his last 30 games. He was leading the NHL, I think, up there with Sam Reinhart, tied for first in power play goals. And all of the whispers of what had happened in Seattle, nothing really got to him. And again, when he went into the assistance program, he was playing great. And it just kind of felt like this guy's just a good hockey player. No matter when he plays, he gets it done. We saw what he looked like in the 2022 series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. You ask a lot of the guys in that room, McKinnon, Cogliano, even Kel McCarr, a lot of the leaders in that room will tell you, when it comes to that final series, specifically against the Lightning, Nichushkin was their best player. Then in Seattle, he scores in game two, helps them win that game, and then disappears, the Avalanche fall, and then he comes back against the Winnipeg Jets and continues to do his thing. So it's a pattern here. Every playoff series you see out of Val Nichushkin, he seems to be getting better. It's hard to say that it's surprising at this point. The toughest thing for him in the Avalanche is keeping him in the lineup, keeping him mentally and physically healthy to stay in the lineup. Because if he does, $6.125 million in the prime of his career, you have a steal, like one of the best steals in the NHL probably there.
Yeah, it's almost like being gigantic and very fast is a helpful tool in the playoffs. He's very effective.
So good at taking the goalie's eyes away. It's incredible.
He's a horse, man. He plays in that area of the rink. What about at the other end, Georgiev? Has he lived up to expectations in the postseason so far?
He's really calmed everything down. There's an alternate universe where Eustace Annan doesn't get sick on that road trip heading to Winnipeg and wondering what could have happened. Because I remember I didn't travel to Winnipeg like this series. And I remember the day before game one, the Avalanche practice, and Annan took a lot of extra reps because Gorgi was the first guy off the ice. And it was a short practice because they were taking a flight to Winnipeg right away. And he seemed fine. And then suddenly he's not there for game one. The Avs didn't even take their third stringer in Prosvetov. They took the fourth stringer, not expecting him to even dress. And now he's on the bench. And Winnipeg enters the third period leading 4-3. They quickly make it 5-3. They quickly make it 6-3. And I genuinely feel that 6-3 goal would have been the time to pull Georgiev and put an Annan in had he been there. Mm. And then there's an alternate universe where the Avs end up losing 7-6. Georgiev ends up letting in the seventh goal. Well, what if Annan doesn't end up letting in that seventh goal? Right. What if the game goes to overtime 6-6? What if he plays well? What happens for game two? But by not having him available, by not having that competition, Georgiev has really calmed things down. We've seen him do this over the last couple of years. Every time he has a tough stretch, he follows it up instantly with one of his best stretches in the NHL, or at least with the Avalanche. The biggest question is, how long can he hold that stretch? Mm-hmm. It was four games against Winnipeg. It's been three against Dallas. Seven games he's either played above average or pretty good average. How long can he hold that? Because against this team, you're playing at least two more, maybe three or four against the Dallas Stars. And the guy on the other side is playing really well. So he's going to need to keep doing what he did in game three, because he was really good in game three. Maybe not as good as Ottinger. He didn't face as much, but he kept the Avs in it until they were able to pull their goalie down 2-1.
We're talking to Arif Dean, Avalanche beat writer for Mile High Sports, as we get ready for Dallas, Colorado. So, Arif, not too many series over my years I've covered where two powerhouses get together here. And you know one of them's going to go home disappointed here. in yeah. terms of Colorado, if that does happen and it's considered, I guess, a failure to lose in the second round here, like what kind of fallout would there be, if any at all, based on the fact that you're also playing a team that's favored to win the Stanley Cup? So, like, how do you see this thing playing out if Colorado does find a way to lose this thing?
It's honestly, it's going to matter how it happens. That's going to be the biggest takeaway. Like, if you're the Winnipeg Jets, I mean, you've probably said it on your show, but since maybe November, every single person had to have at some point said something along the lines of Dallas, Winnipeg, and Colorado are atop the Central Division, and you want to do everything in your power to not be in that 2-3 matchup. You want to be the team that gets a wild card, not knowing the wild card is going to end up being the Cup, you know, champion Vegas Golden Knights, but you want to do everything to stay out of that. Well, Winnipeg comes into the 2-3 matchup. It's not that they lost to the Avalanche. It's how it happened. It's the fact that Hellebuck led in 24 goals. It's the fact that the Avalanche scored 6, 7, and 5 goals in every single game or whatever it was. That's going to be the case here. The Avalanche won game one. They trailed 3-0. They luckily were able to win that game. They were down 4-0 in game two, and they came back and made it a game. They let in the first goal, they trailed, and they chased the whole time. If they lose tonight again, where Dallas takes a 2-0 lead and kind of locks it down and wins 2-1, and then they go back to Dallas on Wednesday, and Dallas takes a 1-0 lead and shuts them out 1-0. Like, you play a whole series where you never once played with the lead, because they haven't yet to this point. The Dallas Stars win 4 straight on you. Like, if it's kind of something like that, where you're like the Winnipeg Jets, kind of have your hands up, like, what just happened? I think it'll be a lot worse, and it'll have a lot more ramifications than if, you know, it's a tough series between two teams where one of them's got to win and one of them's got to lose, you know, something similar to what we just saw with the Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. So I think they're, you know, it is a tough team in the Dallas Stars. It's the number one seed in the Western Conference, and you just played the Winnipeg Jets and, you know, beat them in 5 games. It's not about if you lose, it's about how you lose. But alternatively, if you come out of this series as the team that was the lower seed in the 2-3 matchup and you managed to beat the 2-1 in the Central Division, you're looking really good going into the Western Conference Final.
Well, sure feels like a must-win game for Colorado.
Yeah.
Enjoy it, Arif. Thank you for joining us, man. Really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Thanks, Arif. Good series, that one.
Yeah, I can't see Colorado coming back, winning 3 in a row.
No?
Tonight.
No, if they lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I was going to say, yeah, I can see them winning the series still.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they got to win tonight.
Yep. Game time?
Yes, sir.
Game time.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So 2 games tonight. As we know, we've been talking about the Stars in Colorado. Carolina in New York tonight at Madison Square Garden. The New York Rangers have the chance to move on to the semifinals. They are minus 105. The Carolina Hurricanes are minus 115. I think it ends tonight. I think that I do like the Rangers in that, and you could even convince me into, you know, a under in that game. Feels like it's going to be tight. Shesterkin's been red hot. Maybe the other way, maybe, I don't know who they're going with the net, but it's a close one. And
that's the scary part for Carolina, yeah. Right? Like, are you going to get the goaltending?
Yeah, and even that, the goal. My reputation is so tied to bad
the failing
Frederick
of
Anderson.
Freddie Anderson.
I was out on Saturday night, and I didn't watch any hockey, and I looked at my phone, and I had like 7 or 8 texts, including Steve Alaquette was texting me. Like, I had DMs from people like, did you see that Freddie goal? It's like, oh my God, was it that bad? Anyway, so yeah, you worry about that. And the Dallas Stars are pretty big. Oh, not pretty big, but they're underdogs tonight. Plus 115. The Colorado Avalanche are minus 135. Bet365 expecting the Colorado Avalanche to get back in the series tonight. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay. Don Sweeney, general manager of the Boston Bruins, made some noise today. Just stop it. Stop it over there. This is your only chance to, like, save any Toronto Maple Leaf face right now by making fun of Don Sweeney.
That was the press conference. Okay.
Before we get into his specifics here, like, it's no different from any other playoff year where we pick apart what we like and don't like it about officiating. This isn't any different from any other year, is it?
It's not, no. It's such a fantasy.
But it's happening to the Boston Bruins, so they have to come out and cry about it.
Do I need to call you a ambulance? Wah,
wah, wah, wah. I think it's somewhat justified, but anyway.
All right. So, most controversial play was the Sam Bennett goal with the shove.
Oh, was it the Sam Bennett goal or was it the Sam Bennett punt?
Let's just play.
Where do you want to start?
Let's play the first clip from Sweeney.
Sam Bennett.
Yeah.
Let's play from the first clip from his general thoughts
on officiating. Yes.
So let's start there.
Let's go.
We're not in a position to be criticizing, you know, the officials and league-wide such. That's, you know, standard protocol. We'll get fined as a result of that. So there's no intention of my point to be critical. The overall premise that I have is, to be perfectly honest with you, we should not be asking the coach after a game what they feel about officiating and what happens. That you guys should really be focused on, you know, what we didn't do well enough in the course of the game and win a hockey game. Those questions should be directed at either director of supervisor officials, supervisor series, and or the officials. You want full access, you know, and transparency, then put the officials on the, you know, in front of the microphone to answer the question. Because they're the only ones that have the experience to be able to handle, you know, whatever interpretation they applied to Rule 69 in that case to answer your question. That's it. So the rest of us, we have, you know, clearly we challenged it because of our interpretation, right? Yeah. So the only ones that can answer that, don't put out a statement, just stand in front and answer the question. That's as simple as that.
Combative.
I mean, he went with, like, the fan take. That's every fan's take. They should put the refs out there to talk about to the media after. I hate this. Why? But, so they can be like, it was a good call. And then everyone's even more mad. But like, it's the stupidest thing ever.
The statement that they put out is equivalent to them standing up there and saying the same thing.
That's what they're going to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
I was doing the game last night, and we called the situation room when it happened. Mm-hmm. So get them on the phone. What'd you see? Why did that call go that way? And, you know, it's a subjective call. It's a close call. But in the end, you're allowed to have a little bit of a fight in front of the net, whatever. It's not like you can't touch someone. But the biggest thing is that Swayman is fully extended. He has no momentum going that way. He's not going to make that save. It's called a goal on the ice.
Yeah.
They call it a goal. I see a lot of people going,
Coyle had a better chance to come back and make the save.
For sure. Yeah, Coyle, you know, could have turned and whatever, but you can't just get touched and go, you know, into the goalie. There's some.
I didn't mind the non-call.
Yeah, so I actually agree with it.
We're all in agreement that it was a fine goal.
Yeah.
That'll make the Bruins fans happy.
We're not here to make them happy.
But I thought it was fine. I think you should be stronger in your skates. Bennett's
like
stronger.
A conspiracy.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
You know, there's no greater.
Did you see that?
They made a judgment call.
The cross-check on Nurse last night. The shove.
Yeah.
Bad call. Like, yeah. they've gone. I don't know where they think they are with the cross check shove,
the cross push. Yeah,
and it's like, let them battle.
Mm-hmm. Let them battle a little bit, for sure.
Sam Bennett is
the wrecking machine,
nail gun. He is ruining the Bruins franchise. He's got the general manager coming out crying.
he ruined yours last year.
He's good at what he does.
He's doing what Tom Wilson did to the Rangers.
He makes people mental.
He's like, they don't know how to act.
Yeah.
They don't know how to act.
And you're the Bruins, and all Florida does is score on the power play, and you're like, we got to get the maddest guys here. We got to get Bennett. And it's like, Bennett gets 20 goals a year. Yeah. Maybe go do hockey.
Bennett, you're going to try to hit him?
Yeah.
He's made of
dark matter. He's the densest person on earth. Okay, but let's just talk about it. Cheap shot on Marchand. Do you think he threw the punch?
It was a little rabid punch.
Yeah, and do you see the comparable to Matthew Nye's play? Did you happen to see the video yet?
Yeah, the right hand gets a little frisky.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
But he disguised it beautifully. How is it like...
It's a dirty play.
It's a dirty play like 2 days later. Here we are in the world of like 70 cameras and angles and HD,
and now you
guys bring me this 2 days later. Like, where were you after the game? Where were you the next day?
Nobody saw it.
Well, then don't bring it up 2 days later.
And you know what? The Bruins didn't say anything. The Bruins didn't say anything because they let a player play through what was obvious head injury. Right? You talk about concussion spotters. Marchand couldn't get to the bench after that hit, and they were like, he's fine.
Would you like to... Derek, could you please play Sweeney clip 4 for us?
We did not get that until later on.
Talking about that angle.
Again, if you had had it earlier, maybe you would have passed it along, but clearly somebody did, and they passed it along. We felt that way all along, but you know, that was more definitive to us as to what transpired.
You can, you know, if the league had that view?
But can't speak for the league.
You can call, like, an offside within, like, a hair.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys can't find different angles of this until 2 days later?
It's funny. I heard Biz talking about it on Spit and Chicklets or whatever, and he said their camera angle, the camera passed right in front of a stanchion exactly as it happened, so they weren't able to get whatever look they had.
He hammered him. Should have been a shakeout game. Shakeout game, hey. Two, maybe.
It should have been a game.
Yeah.
The reason
it was against a guy who's done that 100 times in his career to other guys.
Well, that, okay? Sure, you can call him karma, but you can't. That
if
make
I'm
it
Sam
legal.
Bennett and I see Marchand coming at me, I don't know if he's going to hit me high, low, or lick me. Okay,
I'm okay with
a little rabid punch,
but it doesn't make it legal, clean, whatever. No. To me, it's like if you don't get a lid on Bennett and he's emboldened by this. You're creating a monster right now.
No, the monster has been created, yes. But it's out there.
He needs, to be put on a leash or something. I don't know.
We all want him on our team.
Sam Bennett should have to wear a bell, like a cat on the ice, so everyone knows where he is at all times.
The things I would do to have Sam Bennett be a Toronto Maple Leaf art.
Well, Kip says the Leafs didn't want to give up Nick Robertson for him 2 years ago, so too bad.
And who was the guy that traded him for nothing? Oh, is he running the Leafs?
You told me you were all excited about Brad Tree living. Now you're telling me you gave away Sam Bennett.
We want that one back, Tree.
Yeah. But so it is going to be interesting to see, you know, Frederick had made some comments like,
you want to hear Pat Maroon?
Yeah.
Pat Maroon was crying about how the media is making narratives he's not doing enough.
Oh, yeah.
We have that. Sorry. Yeah, we have that too.
It's frustrating that you guys are trying to do a narrative right now for nothing, to be honest. Like, we gotta win a f***ing hockey game. That's what it comes down to. Unfortunately, what happened, we gotta turn the page. We gotta find a way. You can sit here and say I'm not doing my job. Maybe I'm not. But like I said before, I'm damned if I do, if I'm damned if I don't. And I don't want to put my team in jeopardy. I don't want to take a suspension. I don't want to put my team on a power penalty kill. I'm doing everything I can. So we can sit here and say I'm not. Maybe I'm not. But I talked to my captain. I talked to the guys in that locker room. They know, and they know I care. And that's the most important thing.
Wow.
They're unraveling.
He's trying his best during warm-up, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
I mean, why would Bennett in a million years?
No.
In a million years.
That reminds me of, like, you know, when someone says something that's not really about you, but you're, like, taking it personally. It's like my wife were like, yeah, the garbage smells. And I'm like, well, you know, you're not taking it out either. It's like, no one said it was your job to do it.
It's not just a blue job.
Yeah. No, no one went at Maroon and was like, we didn't mention, like, how come Pat Maroon hasn't done that yet? It didn't even cross my mind that it's his responsibility.
I think it falls on extremely deff ears from Bruin fans when they're like, you know, Sam Bennett's got to fight. Listen, Brad Marchand never fights.
I got news
from
Bruins fans. They're not that good.
Yeah, you guys stink. Okay. You beat the stinky Leafs.
Stink,
they beat the stinky Leafs, and now they're going to get crushed by the good team.
Unraveling.
Listen, they've had a great goalie for two rounds so far. And there's not much more he can do. But, hey, no Krejci and no Bergeron.
They still beat the Leafs, boys. And now they're crying.
All right.
They inherited the crowd.
Solved nothing. But thanks to Jason Bukala in the first hour. Erfine from Colorado helped us tee up tonight's game. And six-time Stanley Cup champion Kevin Lowe. Good show today, guys.
Good work, team.
Not bad, eh?
Pretty easily.
I don't know. Do it now anyway.
Sammy, we're going to turn you into an NHL guy. Might take me years to do it.
Meow.
It's my job.
Okay.
Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow on Real Kipper and Bourne. Have a great night, everybody.